Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Hello, everybody. It is Saturday, March 5th, and we are back on the pod. And it has been nearly 6 weeks, 39 days to be exact. None of us are sick. None of us are unemployed, as far as I know. We've just been a little bit busy with our teams. But with the tournament underway on the girls' side and getting ready to kick a tip-off, I should say, on the boys' side, we figured this Saturday was a great time to get back together. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Enjoying this last weekend before we get going with the district tournament. It's crazy how, you know, it's always this way, but I guess we forgot since last year was so weird. But that end of the season, definitely the games really start to stack up, and it tends to go by quickly that month of February. But yeah, I'm excited. It's March, and excited to see how these district tournaments play out next week for the boys and the regionals coming up here for the girls.
Doing well. I mean, it's season two is about to begin. You know, March Madness is right around the corner, starts this week. And the timing couldn't be better to get together. You know, we just celebrated the SEC white title again, back to back, and again shared, by the way. We're all about hanging banners in every school in the SEC white. But but no, it was it's good to win another league title. And then you know, it's funny, I was thinking about getting on the pod today, and I was watching the Duke game a little bit, North Carolina, and I can't stand that letter D they use, and I can't figure out why. But it made me think, like, last year when we lost to Dexter, you guys asked for me to share the huddle film. But last week when we took care of our rival next door, neighboring town, neither one of you asked for the video, which I thought was odd.
Well, maybe if you guys scored more than 45 points, I would have asked for it. I wouldn't want to be put to sleep by that film.
That's a great response, Derek. And on top of it, Josh, when you win, we get all the details. So there's no need to be watching any video. We pretty much, I feel like I was at that game basically now. We do like the victorious Josh Trope in terms of from a social standpoint, but that was a shot at Dexter about the D. I understand that. It is weird that Dexter got away with that.
Yeah.
They kind of broke the copyright and put that D down, and they obviously haven't done the floor since the new school was built, because that D remains there. But maybe one day they'll change it, put that. I like the ship, the dreadnought.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll put that out there in the middle of the floor. So
they don't really use the D anywhere else either. So they really should update that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, well, hey, yeah. Congratulations, Josh, on your tri-championship. Is that what we call them in the SEC?
Second year in a row too. Right. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Great season though for you guys. I mean, you guys had a tough schedule, but you still got two of your goals have been checked off. I know Dexter beating them was one of your goals, and that at least a league title and a share is still a league title. Derek, great season for the Pirates too. 18-2, man. I mean, two tough losses to Vandy, who got the outright title in the Cascades. But man, you guys had a remarkable season this year with a good squad. You got to feel good about that.
Yeah, no doubt. It was definitely a good year. We did really almost everything we wanted to, with the exception, like you said, of that league title. Yeah, I mean, I'm the only one sitting here without a league title on the pod, because you guys got the 19-1 and the GLAC title over there for Olivet. So yeah, I'm not at that level yet. I still got some work to do.
Yeah, but I would say you're the odds on favorite of the podcast to come on with a district title. So
yeah, that you're right. That second season, they might have a clearer path than the other two of us. But hey, let's start with talking about some girls basketball districts. And I guess the coolest thing about yesterday, Friday, is all of us were off. We had probably early practices during the day, and all three of us were able to take in a girls game. Josh and I took one in live. And Derek, I know he had one rolling on his live stream at home. So we've got some things to talk about that we actually saw, but also just looks like we have a handful of district champions from the area and some really good basketball games last night. I want to start with the the Brighton Dexter district final at Dexter. That's the one that me and my lovely bride took in last night. Got to sit right behind the Dexter bench. I felt like I was back when Derek and Tony were playing. I was like the lone parent sitting behind the bench because I didn't want to be in the parent section and listen to all that. But it was there wasn't anybody sitting behind the bench, so there we were. But what it's a heck of a basketball game. Brighton 33, Dexter 29 in overtime. And usually when you see a score like that, you say, man, that's just ugly basketball. And it wasn't ugly other than both teams just had a hard time finishing at the rim as well as knocking down perimeter shots. But it was one of the most intense girls games I've seen in a long time. The level of defense was outstanding. There were multiple good players on the floor on both sides. Both teams are very well coached. I mean, it was literally a one or two possession game the entire game. It just came right down to the end. Dexter hit a shot with 4 seconds to go on a baseline out of bounds to send it into overtime, tied at 25, I might add. And then Brighton, they had the exact same scenario. They had a possession again down two in the final seconds of the overtime, but this time missed. Brighton rebounded and they had to foul, and that's how you get the 4-point margin. But two good team, really a tough way to lose. And my wife said it, you know, that was a tough loss for Dexter. She said that more than once, but that would have been a tough loss for Brighton too. Both teams really good. Dexter, what a season they had. SEC Red champions. They blew out Chelsea in the rivalry crossover game at the end of the year. And Brighton, you know, Brighton came in with 6 or 7 losses, but they are in such a tough league with Heartland and Howell, and they play some tough non-league games as well. Paul Ash out there coaching for Brighton, which I forgot that he was coaching, all 6 foot, looks like he's about 6'8" right now. And he's gotten thinner as he's gotten older, but he does a super job. And but Dexter was right there. I was impressed with their effort. So did you guys see any part of that game at all?
I followed the end of it on Twitter because the Chelsea girls game started at 6, but I didn't see any part of it live. No.
Yeah. It was unfortunately it wasn't streamed. I don't think because they're not an NFHS school. So I was going to watch that one live, but I was unable to because of that. So I was just getting your text updates and some of the stuff on Twitter.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Dexter play live. I got special interest in Bree Rodriguez. What a great job she does handling the ball and defending Mary Koppel from Brighton, who is a really strong junior point guard for Brighton. I mean, Bree did an outstanding job in that game. She hit a couple of threes. But there, you know, Sydney Panasic, you know, she didn't have her greatest scoring. No one had their greatest scoring game when you have a 33-29 game. But in her final game, I mean, she plays so hard and been such a big part of it. Dexter loses 5 of their 10 girls that dressed last night. And I don't know that Lauren subbed in the second half, to be honest. But it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep it going. I know they have potentially some incoming freshmen that could impact the varsity next year. We'll see how that works out. But that was a good high school game. I'm going to be interested to see how Brighton does. And Brighton will play not Saline, which I think many people expected to come out of its district, but they're going to play Pioneer, who knocked off Saline. I guess you can call that an upset. They knocked off Saline last night 53-50. I just saw some highlights and some tweets about it, but Derek, you actually had that stream going at home. What did you think of that game?
I thought it was a really high level basketball game. Really from beginning to end, there was a lot of shot making that occurred in that game. I really liked the way both teams play. You know, they really both play a pretty up-tempo pace. And I know we've talked about this before, especially with Celine, but they both shoot the three ball well, and they shoot it a lot. They're aggressive with that. You know, you had some mixing of defenses there from both teams, especially from Pioneer. They were trading leads, or it was very close, I guess, all the way through, especially in the second half. It was an exciting game for sure. I'm not super familiar, especially with Pioneer's personnel. So I can't really give the names. I don't necessarily know them, but they have their one guard, number 4, really had a nice night. And then they had some of their bigs can really step out and shoot it, which gave Celine some trouble. They really seemed, the biggest thing was they were able to get to the rim throughout the game, I felt. They did a good enough job on Kanan and making her have to take a lot of shots to get her points. But yeah, it was a really high level game, and it really kind of shows, you know, how good the SEC is in girls basketball there. I mean, considering that those, you know, Dexter won the league, and those two are obviously right there. And, you know, I really think the thing with Pioneer, man, is that they're peaking at the right time. You know, they started the year 3-4, but since then they've really gotten it rolling, and you could kind of see this coming. I watched a little bit of their game earlier in the year against Dexter when they had Dexter on the ropes. At Dexter, the second time they played him, and it was like, this team is clearly getting better. And then that was right before they ended up beating Saline in the regular season. So, you know, I don't really think this is an upset at the end of the day. I think they're just a team that's peaking at the right time. It should be an interesting game when they play Brighton this coming week.
You know, it's been 6 weeks since the pod, and Derek still has coach voice. I mean, does that ever go away for you? Do you ever stop yelling at people or what?
Nope, never. Never, never.
Speaking of coach voice, yesterday during the Pioneer game, was Tyrone Hicks, was it the gentle, calm Tyrone Hicks kind of seated with the legs crossed, or was the mountain of a man, was he pretty animated on the sideline? Which Tyrone showed up last night?
There was a wide range of emotions from Tyrone. I thought for the most part, he was pretty calm. Kind of, he was pacing the sideline though.
Right. Okay.
There was one time out in the first half, I believe it was, where he was laying into his girls, which I know he does that on occasion. I've seen that a few times from him, and they responded well. And then he also had the fist pumping, getting excited in the second half when they had an and one. So we had a little bit of it all from Tyrone.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good deal. So I say the biggest upset of the night last night had to be, I mean, not upset, the most shocking score of the night was Williamston 48, Ann Arbor Guy Richard 25 in that district final. And it's not shocking that Williamston won, because they are on a roll, but to win 48-25 and to lead 31-8 at halftime against really an outstanding Guy Richard team was an eye opener. And it was an even second half, but that the game was over basically at halftime. And on my drive to Marshall today for practice, I decided to dial up old Coach Kane, just kind of pick his brain about this one. I know he's got that I'm a coach without a team feeling that we all get sometimes when the season ends, but he just said that Williamson had a great game plan. They did a nice job keeping the ball out of Miller's hands, the point guard for Richard, early, and they got discombobulated a little bit, and they just they didn't respond well to that, couldn't get into their offense. And all the while they were scoring points, and it just kind of snowballed. They had some foul trouble, just different things. And we've all been on that slide when you just can't stop it. And it's next thing you know, they're down 15 and they're down 20, and then they get into halftime. And it's like, holy cow, how do you dig out of that hole? He said the second half went similar to what he thought the game would go, but it was just too late. So give Williamson credit, because they rolled through that district and did it. You know, they beat a pretty solid Stockbridge team easily. They beat that St. Catherine team easily, and a team with a good record. And so they're peaking at the right time. I know Josh is hoping their boys aren't peaking at the right time, but their girls seem to be rolling. They are going to play, speaking of Chelsea, they're going to play the Chelsea girls who defeated Tecumseh yesterday 45-33 in a pretty competitive game. Josh, that's the game that you attended. And all of those Chelsea students in attendance with you. Yeah. How did that go?
Yeah, that was sad. I will say, I got to call the Chelsea students out a little bit. Like, it was very poorly attended by our students. And hopefully the girls get a lot more support this week at Tecumseh on Tuesday and Thursday. We need to get some more kids out there to support our girls. They're one of the top 10 teams in the state and playing really well. We got to get a few more kids out there. You know, it was a really good game. You know, Tecumseh with a slim lead at the end of the first quarter. I thought they made a great adjustment. Coach Zajac did a great job. She had her daughter Allie bring the ball up to avoid dealing with the pressure from Layla Wells. Great adjustment by her. In the one meeting that I saw that they played at Chelsea, you know, they tried to bring the ball up against Wells, and you just can't do that. She's too good at a defender, too good of an athlete. She creates havoc for the opponent. So they were really, really smart to do that. They spread the floor. They went five out. They did a really good job of moving the ball back and forth. And, you know, Chelsea's really young. People forget that. You know, I mean, three freshmen play a ton. Two sophomores play a ton, and a junior. And in March, you win with seniors, right? I mean, we know that seniors are desperate, that they play desperate. You win with seniors. And so early on, Chelsea really struggled. Their young kids played like young kids. I mean, just missing badly from the field and things like that. And luckily for them, you know, they were able to throw the cape on Layla Wells in the second quarter, and she carried them to halftime. And Tecumseh, again, Christy did a great job. She came back, made a great adjustment in the third quarter. They were able to take Wells away, take her right hand away, make her really go to the left. And they, as a group, they kind of corralled her. And really, it was a back and forth game. And I kind of felt that Tecumseh was really getting the momentum late in the third quarter. And interestingly enough, Chelsea got really bad foul trouble. And I think it's what turned the game in Chelsea's favor. Megan McCullough, one of their Division II players, who's a junior, she picked up her fourth foul. And Layla Wells, one of their Division I players, picked up her third foul. So they had to go a little deeper into the bench, and they brought senior Katie Wickman in. And Katie played like a senior who didn't want this to be her last game, and had 8 huge points in the fourth quarter, hit a big three, made our free throws. And then she really brought a ton of energy. And then Coach Sheffler and his staff also made a great adjustment. When they got in deep foul trouble or big foul trouble, they went to zone for the first time. And it really threw Tecumseh off their game a little bit for maybe 4 or 5 possessions in a row, where they weren't getting the shots they wanted. They struggled to get the ball where they wanted it to go. And in that string of tough possessions offensively, Chelsea hit back-to-back threes. And in a tight game like that, you know, when you get up 37-31, it seems like 30 points, not 6, you know, and that was really the difference in the game. And then Chelsea just held on from there, made their free throws down the stretch, things like that. But great game, super competitive. Not to keep going back to this, but Tecumseh had a great student section. They actually had to stop the game at one point, tell them to get back up into the bleachers and off the court and things like that. And So I hope, you know, I doubt many teenagers listen to this podcast, but I hope we get some fans at the game on Tuesday and Thursday to get behind the ladies, because they're in one of the toughest regionals in the state. I mean, they play Williamston, who's outstanding, on Tuesday. And if they get past them, they're going to play a Marshall team who they lost to early in the year, and a Portland team who's the defending state champs and beat them this year. So it's an extremely tough regional. So the girls could definitely use a 6-man down at Tecumseh.
It's a lot of zone being played in Chelsea these days. I'm just throwing that out there. That's rumor has it. A lot of zone being played on both sides, boys and girls. Kind of disappointing, to be honest with you. But I'm just going to – we'll save that for a defensive breakdown session at some point. But anyway, so yeah, so there you go. That's three local teams or whatever that are two that are going to be you know, playing in this some very competitive regions. We had three other local winners on the girls' side. Arbor Prep, to no surprise, with Miss Basketball candidate Maya Petticord, defeated Whitmore Lake 71-15 in a district final. They moved at 20-2 on the year. They're going to play Blissfield in the first round regional game. Blissfield is 17-5. That regional is at E-Course. Man, I had some great memories at E-Course back in the day. I think they have a new school now, but man, we get that. Thinking of a podcast topic, just E-Course stories would be great. Cabrini and a school called Detroit Voyager College is also, I never even heard of that. They're also in that region. Arbor Prep is going to just put running clocks on people. Blissfield might hang around for a while. I think the other two are like 500 teams. So Arbor Prep is not going to get tested in this regional unless something really crazy happens. And I know it's March Madness, so it definitely could. But they are kind of doing what everyone expected so far. The other game, another game to mention, Grass Lake rolled easily 66-47 over Cascades foe East Jackson in their district final. And that means they will go to Hudson now for a regional. And play Columbia Central, which could be an interesting game. Leslie and Dansville are also there in that region. So Grass Lake defeated Brooklyn Columbia Central, I think, by 16 earlier this year. But it's a different time of year, and the stakes are a little higher. Any insight on that one, Josh?
You know, I'm surprised they beat them that easily, because I know Columbia Central has some talent. They have some bigger girls to play inside, and I know that Grass Lake is not does not have a lot of size. So, but I do know that Grassley has very talented guards. And obviously they're incredibly well coached by Andrew Cabana, and they're the defending state champs. And I would think they're the favorite to win that regional. I tough game though, definitely on Tuesday.
No doubt. They had a good game, or they met in the quarterfinals last year, and it was a 13 point win for Grass Lake. So I think that's definitely a good matchup for sure. I'm expecting that to be tough. Obviously, I think those games get shrunk a little bit. I wouldn't expect it to be a 16 point game again, but yeah, it should be interesting. And I think they would, whoever wins that regional would then play Arbor Prep. If Arbor Prep wins, is that how it lines up? So that could be hopefully we get that Grass Lake Arbor Prep game again. That would be exciting to see that. I know it's not quite what it was last year when we had Bargesser and Petticord, but it still would be cool to see it again.
Don't sleep on GLAC co-champion Leslie in that regional. Just got to give the GLAC co-champion a shout out. I don't think they're at that level, to be honest, with Grass Lake, but they have, you know, they're very well coached, Leslie. And they have a prolific score in tournament play. You can get someone, I mean, she put a 50 piece on.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, stop it. Don't cut me off. I'm talking about my Leslie Blackhawk. Which, yeah, I don't really like Leslie that much, but I do think when you've got an individual player that can go off and a coach that maybe can design something, they'll have a fighting chance if they can get past Danville. What were you gonna say?
Oh, there's some stories going on out there that Leslie 50 point thing was a little bit of lack of sportsmanship. I'm just saying that there was maybe some running up of the clock, some leaving starters in, some. Anyways, I think it's great that a kid scored 50 points, broke the school record, but it sounds like it was at the expense of an opponent that was not very good. So I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, you won a game with 42 points last week. I don't want to hear about you getting on a kid scoring 50. Okay. But anyway, what were you going to say? You got something else?
I was going to say, I want to give out a shout out to all the SEC women's basketball coaches because the lack of foresight by the athletic directors that run our SEC and which shocked me because Bab used to be a girls basketball coach and John's wife is a girls basketball coach at Tecumseh. We have the league meeting the Saturday morning after their district instead of last Saturday, which we all, like every other league in America does last Saturday. We have ours the week. First off, most of the boys coaches are scrambling out of there to get to district practice. And then these poor girls coaches, they got to come in and sit across the table from someone that just beat them last night in the district. I couldn't imagine if I beat Matt in a district final on Friday night, I can't imagine that would go very well Saturday morning at 10 a.m. the next day, whether there's donuts and coffee or not. You know I'm taking a dig, and you know you're probably coming across the table. So I give these girls basketball coaches a ton of credit. I mean, they knocked each other out of districts last night. They're all sitting at the table together this morning. I couldn't do that. I don't know how they do it.
What a fictitious scenario you just presented. That obviously would never happen. But, Derek, did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, even if you do it the week before, you could get, I think even Matt may have a story that might not be able to be told on this pod here today, but I think a couple of weeks ago, they won a tough game on a Friday night and had a meeting the next morning. And there may have been a little bit of hard feelings between the coaches at that meeting. So it can happen at any time. Let's just put it that way.
I just kept my head down and polished our GLAC championship trophy during the meeting and let everybody else talk about what they needed to talk about. So I didn't worry about things like that anymore. But so anyway, one more I want to mention, Parma Western winning its third straight district title, but this one in Class A, they defeated Holt 47-46. Information that I received says they were down five with less than a minute to go. They hit two threes in the final minute, including one by Reese Hitt with 7 seconds to go for the decisive point. And Parma Western, 21-1, moves on to the Mattawan regional, where they will play East Lansing, 17-14, a team that they beat earlier in the year. Mattawan and 20-1 Battle Creek Lakeview are in that district again. little fun fact, Lakeview's only loss this year was by 3 points to Chelsea. So that's a heck of a regional, but Parma Western just keeps it rolling. That was a close call though. They almost, that was upset alert for sure in that game. I'm sure Holt's a strong team though. So those are our girls' final games and some of the regional previews. It's going to be an interesting week. They play Tuesday, obviously, and Thursday on the regional side this week, barring any weather issues. I think we might get some weather after our 60-degree day today here, in a little bit of weather next week, but who knows? Anyway, let's move on to the boys' side. We have 10 – the way I look at it, I think we have 10 local districts that include local teams. And I think what we're going to do, and we're not going to preview them all, but we're going to predict them. We got to keep track of this. We're going to have to put a graphic together. You know, Derek's Mr. Graphic. Maybe he'll do something for us. He's got a lot of time on his hands right now anyway. So, but anyway, so let's start. We're going to go from A down to C. We'll start with the bigger schools first. The Lincoln District, which on one side of the bracket, we have Lincoln and Ypsilanti with the winner playing Huron. And on the other side of the bracket, we have Pioneer and Saline with the winner playing Belleville. And then, of course, the finals are slated for Friday. Who wants to go first with their thoughts on that district? Who are you picking?
I can go first here. I feel like early in the year, I can't remember exactly what I said because it was a long time ago. But I feel like I was kind of on the Belleville and Pioneer train early in the year. And I probably didn't give Huron nearly the love they deserved. So I'm going to try to right that wrong here, and I'm going to go with Huron to win this one. Partly too, I think that they, I think I like their matchup a little bit better. I mean, I expect them to play Lincoln on Wednesday, but I do think that that's a reasonable game for them. I think that other side, you can see a little bit of teams beating each other up on that side. So I'll go with Huron there, but that obviously, as usual, is a very good and should be competitive district.
Don't count my guy Jess Davis out at Lincoln. I agree Huron's the better team, but he'll have a good game plan. They'll be able to kind of coast through Monday with Ipsy and get some maybe nerves and jitters out and be ready to go. If they can jump on Huron early in that game, they have a chance on Wednesday, and they're at home, right? I mean, so that matters too. And I don't think it's 84 feet. I think we measured it out. I think it's like 87.5 feet or 0.5 feet at Lincoln, that court. But I agree with what Derek said. Pioneer, Saline, Belleville, anybody can come out from that side. So, I'd like to see Trump get one at Belleville, but I think Huron will come out of there.
I've got Huron as well. 17-3 right now. They just keep plugging along. It's interesting. Pioneer and Saline are solid teams, but don't really have anything to show for this year. I mean, they both were, you know, good basketball teams and were in the thick of it for a while and then just couldn't hold on in terms of being contenders in that SEC red. Belleville, I think they have 5 or 6 losses, and they did get another league championship. They don't play in a league of the same caliber. But Pioneer and Saline, this is a way to kind of make up for maybe a less than exciting regular season. So the winner of that game is going to have some momentum going into that Wednesday game with Belleville. Would not be surprised if one of them popped Belleville, even though Belleville was my preseason team. Belleville's really good, but if I put money on this one, I'm going to go with Huron. So district, our next district, the Skyline District, we have South Lyon East and Brighton playing on Monday. The winner will play Dexter on Wednesday, and on the other side of the bracket on the Wednesday game, we have Skyline and South Lyon, your alma mater. What do you guys think about that one?
I think I was really feeling like, okay, Dexter's really getting rolling. They're looking, they had that bump in the road in the middle, but then Tropes and the Bulldogs kind of had me a little less confident about that. I do think that Skyline has it should in theory have an easy path to that the championship on Friday, whereas Dexter, I think, will have a very tough game. I mean, didn't it take a Brendan Parachek like game winner last year to beat Brighton? I think that would be the best matchup we could get there, is another Brighton versus Dexter matchup there in the semi. I know Dexter beat Skyline just a couple weeks ago. I don't feel super confident on this one. And, if they had a Vegas line, this might be the underdog, but I think I'm going to go Dexter.
this is not a direct or a good answer, I guess, but I'll say this for those that follow closely. If Brighton beats South Lyon East on Monday, the Brighton-Dexter game is the championship game, because I think Brighton's matchup zone will give Dexter fits on Wednesday night. But if South Lyon East beats Brighton, I think Dexter rolls. I don't think they're the underdog. I think they win the district. I think Skyline's kind of reeling at the end of the year. Dexter just beat him in a few weeks ago. I like it. The intriguing thing is, if Brighton can get by South Lyon East, can Dexter solve Brighton's matchup zone? And I'm not sure they can. But if South Lyon East wins that game, I like Dexter to win the district.
I'm going to go with the Dreadnoughts as well. Again, other than the hiccup against Chelsea, for whatever reason, I don't know what happened there. I guess I got to watch the video. Maybe, can you send me that video, Josh, when you get a chance? I still haven't seen that one. Maybe I should ask for that one. I was surprised, to be honest, that you guys beat Dexter. But other than that, they have been really rolling. They had at least their main guys played really well against Roseville the other night. So I think they're coming in feeling good. They'll figure out Brighton's matchup if it sees there. Skyline playing at home would make me kind of hesitate, but I'm still going to pick the hometown Dreadnought. So moving on quickly, we have the Holt District. We have a couple of local teams. Jackson and Jackson Northwest are going to square off on Monday, with the winner playing Holt on Wednesday. And then Lansing Everett and Mason will play on Monday, with the winner playing Okemos on Wednesday. Any thoughts on that district? Who do you guys have?
I think I'll go with, you know, this is kind of the basic answer, but I think I'll go with Okemos. I do remember seeing them play this summer once or twice, and they had a couple studs. I know they got a 16-4 record coming in. I think it would be cool if we can either get Jackson or Northwest there to get to the final, if they can beat Holt. But I'm going to take Okemos.
I like Holt in an upset on Friday over Okemos.
You know anything about Holt, or you just
I do. Tiny, tons of guards, athletes, going to speed you up. And I think they're going to make a bunch of threes on Friday and upset Okemos, crosstown rival type thing.
Okay. I'm going to go with Okemos, even though that one's at Holt. But I think it's going to be – I think it'll be a nail-biter. And I'm assuming Holt's going to be in the final as well. Although Jackson and Northwest have had their moments this year where they've risen up and beaten good teams, so – All right, moving on to the Fowlerville District. We're going to Class B now, or Division II, whatever you want to call it. We have Josh. We're not going to get a prediction on him, although we might let him comment. Father Gear Richard and Fowlerville are going to play on Monday, with the winner playing Chelsea on Wednesday. And on the other side of the bracket, we have Stockbridge from the GLAC. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Playing Pinckney for the second time this year. And the winner gets the ho-hum Williamston team on Wednesday. How fun will that be? Josh, you don't raise your hand. You're not allowed to talk yet. Derek, what do you think about this one? What do you think about
this? I think this is important before you make your predictions. Know this is that Rex Stanzak and I have petitioned the MHSAA to allow us to combine the other five teams' best players to just play Williamston on Friday. We're waiting to hear if we're going to be allowed to do that.
All right.
If that was the case, would you take the other five teams, or would you still take Williamson is the question? On talent alone, they have ridiculous talent. I think whoever comes out of the other side, I'll pick Chelsea to come out of the other side to beat, you know, Gabriel Richard in a tough one. I think Gabriel Richard's gonna have a tough game against Fowlerville on Monday at Fowlerville. Like, that's not going to be easy, but I'll take Gabriel Richard to win that one. Chelsea to beat Gabriel Richard in a close game. But I think either way, I bet you that district final, there's a few moments there where it's like, they got a shot here. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about, you know, which some news outlets have Williamson number one. I don't know, what did the AP have them number one right now, or do they have Grand
and the Detroit News came out and said they're the number one team in the state, regardless of class today.
Right. Yeah. So I think it would be foolish to not pick them, I think, at the end of the day. But I do hope, and I do think that there's a decent chance you see a little bit of a scare maybe early in that game on the Friday, but I'll take Williamson.
On the zone side of the bracket, isn't Gay Richard, Fowlerville, and Chelsea, are we all just playing zone defense now? Is that all Fowler to his own team too. I mean, how boring a basketball is that going to be on that side of the bracket? My God, Chelsea will prevail on that side, in my opinion. I think Coach Trope is going to have them ready. Gay Richard losing their point guard early in the year has taken its toll. It's going to be tough for them even to get by Fowlerville, who is playing well. That's not going to be an easy game for Chelsea if Fowlerville does advance. Stockbridge and Pinckney, they actually had a competitive regular season game. I kind of see Pinckney emerging in that one. And then Williamston, the one thing is, man, Chelsea had them on the ropes last year and almost stole one at Chelsea. They're not going to sneak up on Williamson this year. I think he'll be able to sell that to his kids that this is a dangerous team. If this was like a Chelsea plus 15, I'd say, you know, they're a 15 point underdog. I still might take Williamson. No offense, Josh, but I think they're that good. So there's your locker room. Unfortunately, we don't have to play. I don't have to say that, but I got Williamson this one, maybe in a methodical pull away win against Chelsea in the final. So
is this like NC State five slam a jam? Is that what we should do on Thursday, is watch the
I think, yeah,
survive in advance.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. At the Trope House. I'll even come over and be a guest speaker if you'd like. So, but anyway. All right. Moving on to the Tecumseh District, another interesting one. We've got Adrian and Hillsdale in the Monday game with the winner playing Jonesville, the co-champion of the Big Eight, although they just got it taken to them a little bit by the Napoleon Pirates on Thursday this week. And on the other side, we've got Tecumseh and Parma Western in a Monday game. That is an interesting game. And the winner gets undefeated Onsted on Wednesday. Wow. Okay. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah. This one is tough. I have seen everybody but Hillsdale in this district play. A lot of it was early in the year. I might be insane, but I'm going to take Adrian. Call me crazy, but I think they're going to beat Hillsdale on Monday. I think they'll just be too much to handle for Jonesville on Wednesday. And I don't know who's going to win that other side. I think Tecumseh and Western, I mean, the way Tecumseh plays, like they seem to always be in close games, but they're really good in close games. They're kind of like Wisconsin in the Big Ten right now, where every game's close, but they're comfortable and they're good at winning those close games. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Adrian. Just, I guess, more on the, I'm confident they'll be in the final, and I don't know who's going to be in the final on the other side.
I like Tecumseh and Adrian in the final. SEC White is stronger than people realize. And Tecumseh's playing really well right now. And I think Tecumseh beats Adrian for the third time at home. That place will be rocking. They're hosting the district. The whole town will be there, literally, and the whole town of Adrian. And I think it'll be a great game. But I see Tecumseh winning the district in Tecumseh over Adrian on a Friday night. And it would be if any of us aren't playing, we should be there, because it'd be must-see TV type thing.
Man, just no respect for the undefeated Onsted Wildcats. But if you look at what's going on, though, none of these teams are playing well right now except Tecumseh and probably Onsted, although it's hard to tell because they just kind of dominated a relatively weak schedule. Western is not playing well. Jonesville, Hillsdale is just undermanned, and Adrian is not, they're not clicking right now. So I'm going to go with Onsted. I do think Tecumseh is going to win and beat Western. I think it's going to be a dogfight with Onsted and Tecumseh on Wednesday, but Onsted is going to prevail. I think their guard play is better than people realize. Their big man is obviously very good. And Adrian is just going to find a way to lose that final game. No offense to the Maples, but I don't know that they're playing their best basketball right now. So I'm going to go with Onsted in that one. So, all right. A district that, man, I tell you what, these five schools, but I'd like to be in this district. The Milan District, yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I'd like to be in this district. We'll travel, I mean, to go there this year. But Jefferson and Airport are going to play on Monday with the winner playing Ida. And Milan and Dundee are in the other semifinal on Wednesday. And again, this one's at Milan. Josh, your turn to go first in the second of the last five here. What do you think about that when you're old school Milan?
Yeah, I'm with you. We would also be willing to travel to join this district. Ida, I like Ida. I like Jefferson beating Airport on Monday night. Be a Huron League dogfight on Monday. I like a well-rested Ida team to beat them on Wednesday. I'm going to go with Dundee on the other side over Milan, but I like Ida winning this district. Ida.
I think I'll go with Dundee. I don't really know much about any of these teams. I follow scores in the LCAA more closely than some of the other, I guess, leagues. Well, a few of them because they're potential opponents for us coming up, but none of these teams in particular. I've noticed a couple times that Dundee's had some they've beaten some of the teams that I Columbia. They've had good games with Columbia and Clinton and stuff that I kind of track closely because they're potential regional and a future next year opponents for us. So I'll take Dundee over Ida in the final.
I'm going with Dundee too, for no other reason that I know a lot of people that work at Dundee. Ryan Schroeder, the principal, Ross Crow, the athletic director, Jay Hazelsworth, the head coach, great family, the Hazelsworth family. That's my reason. I no other idea. But if they would like us to come there, I see they only have five teams. So if they would like a sixth, Olivetta is free next week, and we'll even play on Monday if need be. But just throwing that out there, having a little fun with those guys. Good luck to all of them. So
they thought about changing the name to Dundee Schools to Willow Run South for a while.
There's a lot of Willow Run, former Willow Run staff there for sure, man. So, okay. The Whitmore Lake District. We have Whitmore Lake and Charles Stockwell for the Brighton school there are going to play on Monday with the winner taking on Green Hills. And then on the other side, we have Canton Prep and Arbor Prep. Yeah, on the Wednesday semifinal. Josh, thoughts on that?
Yeah, like Arbor Prep in a really close game against Green Hills on Friday. I see Arbor Prep just being able to out-athlete them a little bit, but Green Hills has good guards. But that should be a good game on Friday.
Yeah, I think Arbor Prep will be too much in the long run. I like them to kind of roll through that one.
I've got Arbor Prep as well, so we're all on the same page. I do not see it being close. I don't think that Green Hills is actually playing well. I'm not sure if they've lost some players or maybe just not clicking right now. Arbor Prep, I think they're sitting 16-4. They played pretty good competition as well. I think they're going to cruise in this one. So, all right, the Leslie District. Here we go. Springport, which got its first win in since the Derek Seidel era about a week ago, and they got on the board. They play Hanover on Monday, Hanover Horton, and then the winner will play Homer in the semi. And on the other side, you've got Big Eight co-champion Concord against Leslie, which got a big Christmas present, I think, sometime this year it's a joke between Matt Johns and I. So anyway. That's an intriguing district. Josh, what do you think?
Well, Leslie's been struggling a little bit down the stretch, kind of win one, lose one. When I thought they had it going, I still like Matt Johns and Leslie to upset Concord. And I think that's going to be the key to this whole thing, because I think Concord probably on paper is the best team in this district. But I like Leslie to upset them. And then I like Homer to actually win the district.
Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually am really intrigued by this district. I think that there's really, there's a really honest, like, true case you can make for four teams to win this. I think after watching Concord, I caught some of their game with Vandercook on the JTV restream or whatever the other day. They beat Vandercook by about 20. Vandercook was missing three starters, but between that game and I watched them, I think it was a game against Homer earlier a couple weeks ago, and they really seemed to be clicking. Their kind of guys who look like role players, like just still feeling it out earlier in the year, have kind of expanded their role. They look more comfortable. I like them to win, but I agree with Josh. I think they could be in for a tough one against Leslie. I expect Leslie to find a way to make that a very competitive game, and I could easily see Leslie winning it. And then I think I actually like Hanover to beat Homer. on the other side, and then I'll take Concord to win the district though.
Yeah, I also see on the one side, I can see Hanover getting into the final. I think they'll beat Springport and beat Homer. Homer has not been the same since their point guard had that that car accident and fortunately survived it. I have Leslie. I think Concord has the best talent in the district, but I've got Leslie. Matt's going to find a way to beat them. And I think Concord has the ability to unravel a little bit at times. And I think that could happen in that semifinal game. Leslie being at home is going to help. They'll be sticky with their zone and reduce the possessions, and he'll have a game plan to take some of those two really good Concord players, make them uncomfortable at least. And then if Leslie gets to the finals, they're winning. So I got Leslie from the GLAC. I'm moving on to a regional game. Another, that would be good, because that doesn't happen every year. So, our next district, these guys are all these districts that we're doing now are going to hook up in the same regional. The Brooklyn Columbia Central District, we've got Manchester and Addison on a Monday, with the winner playing Clinton in the semifinal. And then on the other side, you got Hudson and Brooklyn Columbia Central in a semifinal game. Josh, thoughts on that one?
Yeah, if you had asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have said Clinton without hesitation. But I had the chance to watch some Columbia Central film getting ready for Ida, and I would – now say there's no doubt in my mind Columbia Central's coming out of this district.
What did you see, by the way, that makes you think that?
I think they have really good active guard play. They run some really good sets, and they play enough defense that they will outscore the Hudson Clinton teams that they'll play.
Got it. Derek?
Yeah, I think I'll go Columbia Central as well. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to look this up real fast. I believe they had a – didn't they just have an overtime game with Hudson like a week or so ago, which was kind of an eye opener. But I mean, that can happen, you know, late in the year, you occasionally get a game like that. But anyways, they've been playing really well. They've run off a bunch of wins in a row here. I think that they're kind of getting the mojo going, getting the wins rolling. I think kind of coincided with getting Derek Sanders back from injury. So I think that's really kind of allowed them to build some momentum. But yeah, they beat Hudson 61-59 in overtime just this past week. So, I mean, I think that even could be a competitive game. I could see Clinton winning it as well, but I'll go Columbia Central.
I've got Columbia Central as well. I see him playing Clinton in the final. I didn't realize Hudson, you know, in that overtime game, that may have been Hudson's chance to beat Brooklyn. I don't, you know, I think they're going to be focused. And now that they are healthy and just on a roll, a handful of them in a row, they haven't lost. I mean, they're 14-6, I think, on the season. They haven't lost in a while.
They haven't lost since January.
There you go. Clinton does have, you know, obviously a really good individual player, which I think sometimes can impact a game. But I think Brooklyn's got too much for him. So. And then in the our last but not least one, which would be Derek's district, Michigan Center District. Michigan Center just hosts every year. I guess these other schools just don't want to host or whatever's going on here, but they hosted last year as well. Grass Lake and East Jackson will play on Monday, with the winner playing Napoleon in one semifinal. And on the other side, a possibly tougher side, if you think about it, Lumen Christi, a poor record, but from the very tough I-8 conference, plays Michigan Center on Monday, with the winner playing the Cascades Conference champion Vandercook Lake squad. So, Tropes, what do you think?
I remember watching a Lumen Christi Napoleon game where Lumen Christi's up 10 with about 10 minutes to play, and Napoleon came back and won. So, to your point, I think there's four teams that can win this. And EJ just took Vandy to the wire, if I'm not correct, last night. Didn't they, East Jackson, Derek?
Yeah, well, it was tied in the third quarter. I think Vandy may have pushed it out to about 20 at one point, and then it ended up only being 10.
So okay.
Vandy's done that a handful of times with teams where, like, they get up and then they let a team back in it. So, I don't know.
Okay.
They're playing well, though, EJ is.
Yeah, we'll play at 4.5 teams. I like Napoleon in the final of this. I really can't tell you who's coming out of the other side. Lumen Christi obviously plays a much tougher schedule than anybody else in this. Centers incredibly well coached by Coach Gaddy. Vandy has the horses. There's no question about that. So I don't know who's going to come out of that side. I think whoever comes out will put up a good fight on Friday, but ultimately I like Napoleon not only winning the district, but I'll get a little ahead of myself. I like Napoleon coming out of that regional as well. And then, you know, then Coach Trope will be wearing some green on a Tuesday night in March.
Man, talk about putting some pressure on the young fella. So I do like Napoleon in this one as well. I think their Wednesday game will be tricky. I think EJ and Grass Lake, who Napoleon has played recently, and they both were not just like total blowout pull away games from the beginning. Those teams will hang around, but I think Napoleon's got too much for either of them. The other side, I have no idea. And I don't know that it's going to be Vandercook Lake. Part of me just, I mean, obviously I'm a Napoleon fan with Derek coaching there, and I've watched those Vandercook Lake games, not in person, but on video. And, you know, they were just even games, and it came down to the last few minutes, and Vandercook has a kid that closes games better than maybe anybody in the area, the Buckner kid. And he closed both of those games, and he maybe got a little help in one of them, but we'll just leave that where it is. But Lumen Christie, I could see him beating Center, but I could see Center getting to the final as well. So I like Napoleon. I don't know exactly who they're going to play. If I had to pick, I would probably just say Vandercook Lake, because again, I think they have the best individual player, and they don't have any conscience out there, and they just play. And that's kind of scary, but districts tend to tighten people up a little bit. So we'll see if they can play as loose as they have. And as crazy as it is, they do toy with certain teams in the league. They don't toy with Napoleon. Like, they give Napoleon 32 minutes of intensity, and they'll do the same with Center, because Center has beaten them once, and they better respect Lumen Christie if they play them. So that's a heck of a district, and going to be a really interesting regional as well. So, all right, man, that's a lot of March Madness. That's good stuff. I was, we talk about it all the time. We just haven't gotten together and recorded it. So we'll get this out. But I got nothing else. Other than I want to criticize the MHSA in about 10 different areas. I think we'll save that for another podcast. I got a laundry list that has been building all year long as an athletic director. I'm not on this podcast as an athletic director. I'm on this podcast as a coach and a human being, and I'm just really tired of it. The MPR is just one of them. It's frustrating as heck why these districts are not seated 1 through 6, 1 through 7. It makes absolutely no sense. It's actually just embarrassing that we still holding on to whatever, because some of these, and I don't know. I know there were some close calls where teams that had beaten a team twice were almost going to be seated like behind them and not get the 2 or the 1 seed over somebody who they had already beaten twice. And I know the head-to-head component can't be part of it, or maybe it can be, and they just haven't figured out how to do it. But I don't know. I guess it's better than we had it before, but we could do so much more. That's my MPR campaign for the day, but it is what it is. We've got our seedings are out there, and I think the girls' side, it worked out. You saw a lot of times the two best teams playing in the final, and that's kind of what you wanted, opposed to playing on a Monday night. So, final thoughts, boys. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, definitely. Excited to see how things go this week for everybody across the area, and it's a fun time of year.
Okay. If we win Wednesday, I'll be calling both of you, looking just to beat the chest. I'll be looking for information. I'll be really fluffy. If we get knocked off Wednesday, I don't want to talk to either of you until like at least probably Thursday after school. Okay, just so you know that. Just get that out there now. So don't even try to blow up my phone until you find out how we did. So anyway, that's enough kidding, kind of. But fun talking basketball. Look forward to next time. Hopefully we get it. Our next time is not 39 days from now. So everybody take care.